Well, good morning, and welcome yet again to another virtual service. Today is the seventh Sunday and final Sunday of the Easter season, which means that next week we celebrate the Pentecost event, but we do have one last Sunday here to really keep in focus what Jesus has in store for us after his resurrection. So with that being said, we have to do our regular Easter introduction. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will sing of steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will sing of steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter comes from Acts chapter 1. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room, where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David, concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us, and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. So one of the men, who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who is also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In our catechism reflection for today, we focus on the sixth, seventh petitions, and also the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. What is the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer? And lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. What is the seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer? But deliver us from evil. What does this mean? We pray in this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. And finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end, and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. What is the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer? For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. What does this mean?
This means that I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him. For he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. The epistle comes from 1 Peter chapters 4 and 5. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, insofar as you share in Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence, with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people, whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We celebrated the Ascension on Thursday evening, and we thanked God that that Jesus is not with us, at least not in the same manner that he was during his earthly ministry. And now we have arrived to the very last Sunday of the Easter season, the seventh and last Sunday. Today we hear about what the disciples did immediately following Jesus' ascension. So he goes up into the clouds, and what is the first thing the disciples do? All the apostles, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Now, this is one of those things in the scripture that oftentimes I think we just kind of read through and we go, okay, great, they all prayed together. But there's really so much more than just prayer that's going on here. The apostles, this whole little band of believers, they're devoting themselves to prayer. They're persistent, they're continuous. It shows their faith. It shows that now, even with Jesus being taken from them, they still trust in him to take care of them. They still trust in God for all their needs. This is one important aspect about prayer, by the way. Prayer is a recognition of who we are as creatures and who God is as the Creator. We recognize him as our Father who graciously provides us with all that we need, and we rightly understand ourselves to be his children. And so therefore, your prayer life, or lack thereof, is a direct reflection on how much we trust in God. It's a direct reflection on how we view him and how we view ourselves. And so the Christian who prays is a Christian who trusts in God. Another interesting about this prayer, though, that this little band of believers is lifting up, is our text tells us that they did it with one accord. It tells us that they devoted themselves, plural, and together with. They aren't simply praying individually. They're praying with one voice. They're praying as they're unified as a whole. This highlights the importance of being together. It highlights the importance of being part of a Christian community. It reminds us that Jesus is the one who created and instituted and sustains his church. He wants us to gather together as a community of believers. I think in our current situation, most of us already know this. In fact, I'm willing to bet that most of us are feeling it by now. We all know that there's been something missing for the last 2.5 months now. We've worshiped together digitally, but separately. We've prayed together, again digitally, but separately. We've heard God's word digitally, together, but yet separately. But soon there will be a Sunday when we can worship and pray and hear God's word together, with one accord, devoting ourselves, that is, plural, just as the Lord intended his church to do. We will all be together again in a church building, just as Jesus intended us to be. But what did these first people do when they joined together? Well, it says at one of their gatherings in those days, that is the 10 days between Jesus being ascended and the Pentecost event, which we will celebrate on the 31st, Peter stands and says these words, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.'" And so again, we're tempted to think, well, big deal, there's a job opening, it needs to be filled. But again, there's more than just a job opening going on. The church is in a very delicate state during that moment in history. They won't have Jesus in his human form, in his earthly ministry form, to be there as he was before. They only have two things
as they move forward. They will have their faith, and they will use that faith to trust in God, that He Himself will preserve the church. And they will have each other. They will have the community of believers. And so the 11 are very careful to set certain requirements for this 12th apostle. It can't just be anyone, right? It's necessary for this man to have been with them the whole time that Jesus went in and out among them, from the baptism all the way up to his ascension. As it turns out, there are only two men who actually meet this requirement. So how do they choose? How do they pick between the two candidates that are put in front of them? What is a Christian community supposed to do in the midst of a decision that is this big? Well, they trust in God. Through prayer. That's what they do. They pray and they trust that the Lord is going to choose the right man. They said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Why would God include this little account of choosing Matthias in the scriptures? Why would the Holy Spirit inspire St. Luke to write these things down for you and me? Well, it's because the church is important. It's because this little community of believers, this little band of believers here, is important. It's because the apostles and evangelists were then instructed to go out and take this message of Jesus Christ to the rest of the world. It's important because Jesus cares about his community. He cares about his church. So, it gives us pause again to think about what it means to be part of a community. To be part of a community that gathers around God and trusts in his word. I mean, we've made it through the Easter season now, or just about. We know about how Jesus is beaten for us. We know about the pain and the hardship and the shedding of his blood and the death and all of these things that Jesus had to endure on our behalf. We know about the resurrection. I don't know how many times we've said it. Why not one more? Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Jesus conquers the grave. We know these things, but we only know them because there has been a band of believers, because there has been a Christian community who has kind of embraced God's word from the time Jesus ascended until right now. Not one of us has come to believe on our own. Not one of us had knowledge of Jesus magically zapped into our brain. That's not the way it works. God has placed you into a community, and for some of us, maybe our first Christian community was our family. But he's placed us into various communities, various places in life, various friend groups and family groups. And why does he do it? But he does it because he wants us to trust in him. He wants us to be a part of this community that gathers around God's word. And there have been so many moving pieces throughout history to make sure that you hear that message and to make sure that you believe it. Like I said, God appointed apostles and evangelists, and one of them being Matthias. And on down through the ages, he has given pastors and believers, and they keep passing on the story and passing on the message and passing on the truth of who Jesus is for you. He's God's very own son, who willingly went to a cross, who shed his blood, who died, and then who conquered the grave on the third day. Throughout history, God has granted people faith as they heard words of Jesus Christ, and he has nurtured that faith in the community, in the church, amongst those who devote themselves to trusting in God above all else. Now, it isn't really all that difficult for us to see that our church in 2020 isn't unlike the church after Jesus ascended. We're in a very delicate situation right now. And so what do we do? How do we act? Where do we turn? The same place that the apostles did. We ought to do as they did in Acts chapter 1. Devote ourselves to prayer. Lift up our voices with one accord, being together, gathered around God's word and sacraments, receiving Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that he has won for us. Coming into his church to do the one thing that we cannot do separately, which is gather around his table. Receiving the communion meal together. Because just like that early church, we only have two things to rely on. Two things that God has promised are eternal. Our faith, that is trusting that God will preserve his church and each other, the community of believers. My friends, God's church and community, today let us be of one accord, lifting up our voices together in prayer and praise and thanksgiving. Let us devote ourselves to continuous and fervent prayer and trust in God. As we learn the truth of his word, as we hear the forgiveness of sins that is only found in Jesus' death and resurrection. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we continue with the prayer of the church. Guard your people, O Lord, and grant us unity of faith and singleness of heart as we come to you in prayer. Lord, you have promised not to abandon your people, but to be with us always. Grant us grace to hear your word with faith and receive your holy sacrament with repentant hearts. And to keep what we hear and receive upon our lips in holy lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you have delivered the saints from fiery trial and raised up the martyr from the darkness of death to everlasting life. Give us courage that we may give bold witness to the truth in our own day and proclaim Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you have pledged to us your Spirit and promised to supply your church with pastors who will preach and teach your word. Give us ears to hear and hearts to believe your word. Raise up those who will serve your church in generations to come, that we may never be without the aid of those to serve us in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you have power over all things, and appoint an order on earth for the protection of the weak, the punishment of evildoers, and the encouragement of virtue. Bless Donald, our president, JB, our governor, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Give them wisdom for the challenges of our time, and preserve them from self-serving concerns. Give us grace, that we may honor the gift of liberty and be good citizens and neighbors to all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you have compassion upon all who suffer. Give grace to the sick, to those with mental illness, to the dying in their last hours, and to those who grieve. Hear us especially for those on our prayer list and those we name in our hearts before you. Grant them patience in their afflictions, and deliver them according to your gracious will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you are the source of all wisdom and knowledge. Bless those who teach, those who learn, and especially those who graduate this year. Be the hope of those whose plans have been disappointed, and grant that all graduates would find good employment. Guide them in the pursuit of your word and truth, to live honorable lives and worthy vocations, that in all things you may be glorified. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you have given us your own Son as our Savior and Redeemer. He has set his table among us in the presence of our enemies, that we might be fed upon the body of Christ and drink his blood. Guard the unity of his table, that we would confess him with one voice and receive the blessed sacrament with one faith, and hear our prayers for all who have been gathering, for whom gathering has been made difficult. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you have daily and richly supplied us with all things for this body and life. Give us grateful hearts, that we may receive your gifts with thanksgiving, and bring to you our tithes and offerings. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we rejoice in the Savior's promise to guard the people who wear your name by baptism and faith. Until we are with you in your presence forevermore, guard us against the devil, who prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking those whom he might devour. Grant us the power to resist him and trust in you without fear. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us your servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Well, I thank you yet again for tuning in. Again, the last Sunday of Easter, and so assuming we are going to be meeting next week, I will look forward to celebrating the day of Pentecost with all of you. All right, well, there's one more thing that we have to do, and that is our monthly Bible verse. And so again, I'll put it on the screen there for you. I got to find my sheet. Our monthly Bible verse for the month of May has come from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. God's blessings.